The great American bishop and evangelist, Fulton Sheen, once wrote these words: "Judge the Catholic Church not by those who barely live according to its spirit, but by the example of those who live closest to it." Let me read that again, says Fulton Sheen. "Judge the Catholic Church not by those who live barely according to its spirit, but by the example of those who live closest to it." In other words, what he is saying is the following: allow those people whose lives are steeped in authentic Catholicism to be her true representatives. Now, we know that those who have done this most fully are the saints, with whom we give a capital S. And one of the great gifts when you come to weekday masses is that through the course of the year, we get to hear the stories of these men and women who have embodied in their lives what it is to live close to the true spirit of the Church. And not only do we celebrate the life they lived in their generation, but how their stories have reverberated down through the centuries. And personally, I am so looking forward to the 13th of October, when John Henry Newman will become a saint of the Roman Catholic Church. But I'll talk more about him in my homily on that weekend. Now, today, there is no feast day. We do not have a saint to commemorate this morning. Therefore, I want to think about Fulton Sheen's words in relation to you and to me. That is, we too are called to be saints. Maybe not yet with a capital S, but with a lowercase s. Because you see, we are to live close to the true spirit of the Church. I want to tell you the story about a man who lived in the 19th century. His name was Léon Blois. Léon Blois grew up in a home that was influenced by the spirit of the French Revolution. In his earlier life, he was an atheist, and he disdained the Catholic Church. Well, in midlife, he lived in Paris, and he had a neighbor who embodied the words of Fulton Sheen, someone who lived close to the true spirit of the Church. And do you know what happened? As they built a relationship with one another, it resulted in Léon Blois' conversion. He became a Catholic. And after he became a Catholic, he penned this famous sentence. Listen to these words of the man who was at once an atheist and disdained Catholicism. That same man wrote this: "The only real sadness, the only real failure, the only great tragedy in life is not to become a saint." Wow. Listen to the emphasis. The only real sadness, the only real failure, the only great tragedy is not to become a saint. Jacques Maritain, who lived between the years 1882 and 1973, was a friend of Léon Blois. As a younger man, he pledged, "If I do not find out the meaning of life within the next year, I am going to kill myself." Caught up by the materialism and the relativism of life, he concluded that life is meaningless, and unless I can find that meaning, it's curtains, it's lights out. And here's the thing that happened. Blois influenced Jacques Maritain, so that Maritain became one of the greatest philosophers of Catholic thought in the 20th century. And rather than killing himself as a young man, he died at the age of 91. What's the point I'm trying to make? It's this: when we live close to the true spirit of the Church, our lives are going to be changed. Because there's nothing greater in the world than authentic Catholicism. There is no force in the world that is more influential. There is no force that is greater than the true church. And when we allow it to permeate us, we'll never be the same. St. Paul understood this clearly. He was writing to his protege, Timothy, who was a pastor in Ephesus. Ephesus was known for the temple of Artemis, the Greek goddess. And in Ephesus, they had a slogan. You know the slogan for Calgary is, be part of the energy? The slogan of Ephesus was this, Artemis is great. That was the slogan of their city. Now, with this in mind, the slogan of Ephesus, Artemis is great. Listen again to what St. Paul said to Timothy. Without any doubt, listen to this, the mystery of our religion is great. You see what Paul was doing? He was writing to Timothy in Ephesus. He was taking the slogan of Ephesus, but he was saying, it isn't Artemis is great, it's our religion. The mystery of our religion is great. Now for Paul, whenever he uses the word mystery, he means something that had previously been hidden and has now been revealed. What has been revealed? The true nature of Jesus Christ. There's a fancy theological word, it's called Christology. The word Christology means that teaching that pertains to Jesus. And after having said the mystery of our religion is great, Paul gives us a Christological statement, which was one of the earliest creeds that was used in Ephesus. He was revealed in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the Gentiles, believed throughout the world, taken up in glory. It's as if he's breathless. In six lines, he speaks of the incarnation, the resurrection, how Jesus was seen by the angels after his resurrection, how he was proclaimed among the Gentiles even. They're not Jews. Even to the Gentiles, Jesus has been proclaimed. And listen to these prophetic words. Believed throughout the world and taken up in glory. Do you understand this? For St. Paul, the mystery of our religion is great because the mystery of our religion is a person. It is Jesus Christ. And what Paul is captivated by here is the idea that when the church is centered in the reality of the greatness of Jesus Christ, then the church is the household of the living God. And it is also, he says, the pillar and the bulwark of truth. Think about this. What do pillars do? They support a structure. What is a bulwark or a bulwark? It's a wall of defense. Now think about that. Jesus Christ both supports our faith, the pillar, and he also defends us, the bulwark, from the world's attack. And how in Ephesus, where Artemis was everywhere, Jesus needed to be the pillar and the bulwark of truth. With such a solid structure, we can discover that the church is the household of God, the household of the living God. When we come to believe with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that we are growing and living according to the true spirit of the church, we will, with Léon Blois and Jacques Maritain, celebrate not only the saints with a capital S, but you and I are each day called to live purposefully. You know why? Because we're saints in the making. And it's those who know that that can truly represent the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And we hope one day soon that Fulton Sheen will also be raised to the altars of the church as a saint with a capital S.